Welcome to Tech Brain Talk with your girl Flavella Fongang, and today I'm going to fuel your brain with some bomb knowledge. Are you ready? Let's do it. Hello everybody, you're going to love this episode. We're talking about ESG and why ESG is your license to do business. And so I had a great conversation with Anissa Tarai, and we talked about how you can put together a strategy, how you can implement it, how you can reduce your data gap, and so much more, and how I can use it well as a peer exercise to drive more stakeholders to your business. Listen, you're going to enjoy it. Hello, everybody. Welcome back for another episode of Tech Brain Talk. It's your girl, Flavella, as usual. Who else could be except for me? And thank you so much for listening. We are growing our listeners, which is amazing. So please tell the world so we can hear about all the amazing humans that I have on this podcast. And I can't stop to just introduce you to more and more amazing people. And today I'm so excited because I'm going to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is ESG. And I have a fantastic woman, a fantastic expert who can talk about it with so much ease. And I really want her and you to learn from what she's going to say and also apply it. I think the point of doing this podcast and keeping it very practical is for you to apply the learnings. And when you think about ESG, you know, I think some of you probably don't know what it is. A lot of people are concerned by it. You know, if you think about net zero, if you think about everything that is going on, not just net zero, but everything around diversity and so many other things, you need to take care about it right now. And if you're starting a new business, then it's even more important if you embed it in the brand, in your brand DNA, so it doesn't end up costing you loads of money afterwards. So let me introduce you to Anissa Tarai. So Anissa, she's an ESG director. She has more than 10 years of experience working for global multinational organization in both UK and Canada. And she's an expert in the ESG and social impact space. I can tell you so much more about Anissa, but I guess it's better to hear her voice. Anissa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You know, it's funny because I always like to keep it super real, and I want to tell the story in terms of we know each other, but also we came across one another because of what I'm doing as well. We've been raising the profile of Black women, and you were working for a great company and you got them on board. You know, you were the one say, yes, I want to get involved. And from there, you know, I thought that, you know, there's so much more about you that I want people to be able to know and share all the knowledge that you have.
Well, you know what? It was an amazing project. so I could not help but, you know, get on board and support it. And I know it was amazing because you're looking at publishing book number 2. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. But enough about me. I really want to talk about you. So people, can you tell me how a woman, you know, Canadian girl, decided to come to London, and how did your journey, your ESG journey, has been so far? Tell us about that.
Well, I started my ESG journey in Canada straight out of university. And this will of course age me, but 2011 is when I graduated. And back then you didn't have co-op programs, you know, internship programs. And I was lucky enough to get one with the Canadian arm of Centrica UK. So I worked as an intern for about 8 months, and I delved into a little bit of back then we used to call it community investment. And, you know, I'll walk you through the fact that there's so many different ways of speaking about ESG. And I used to run what we call the employee volunteering programs, as well as donations, but also really get a bit involved into the corporate social responsibility program and reporting of the organization. And I truly, truly enjoyed it and decided that this is what I'm going to do. And I definitely stuck with it. I moved on to working for finance, insurance companies, both on the PNC as well as medical and dental benefit side of things. And being in that space, I would say for about 10 years, I learned a lot in the various aspects of the ESG umbrella. It's this, you know, long term that we use, but it encompasses so much more than just those three initials. And when I, of course, moved to the UK in the middle of COVID, because why not? I decided to continue to stay in the space. And I think it was one of the best decisions that I ever made.
Yeah, best decision. Definitely agree on that decision. Otherwise, we would have never met. But I guess, you know, one thing that you say, and I really want to echo on that, there's so much within ESG. And I think when people can think, when people think about ESG, they can see or visualize environment. But they don't necessarily see when we talk about the S or social or the G of governance, like what does it mean? So can we do a bit of a one-on-one on ESG? What is it really?
Yeah, of course, of course. And, you know, as you have probably seen over the last couple of years, I would say over the last 4 to 5 years, there's been an increased interest in ESG from a lot of organizations, be it, you know, mid-sized businesses or publicly traded. And those terms stand for environmental, social, and governance. But when we're speaking about them, we're speaking about them in terms of disclosures to try and understand what are organizations doing with regards to their environmental, social, and governance programs or strategies. Generally, the E includes the following. It would be greenhouse gas emissions, water pollutants and waste management, generally speaking about climate change mitigation as well as climate change adaptation. When we get into the social, some of the topics would be human rights, labor rights, health and safety, employee relations, gender diversity, pay gaps, anti-corruption and so on and so forth, as well as, you know, the impact that we make on our local communities with regards to investments. And when we really speak about governance, we're talking about ownership and structural transparency, you know, shareholder rights, board of directors, independence and oversight, data transparency, ethics, and executive compensation fairness. So these are many different topics. And with that said, it's very hard to find somebody that can be an expert in all of these areas. But when you work in ESG, you work very, very closely with your colleagues in different departments who have the expertise in some of these areas, and you worked together to bring forward a strategy and implement various programs that the company can then take forward and become more transparent on.
I love that. The best explanation of any jargon in terms of what ESG is about. So again, for all the listeners, please rewind this because I think it's super important. You know, I think from a human perspective, and I think, you know, we understand that this is so important, and doesn't necessarily mean that people take action on it. But from a commercial perspective as well, what do you think, obviously, you know, what do you believe organizations should really pay attention and not disregard of their size?
That is because as an organization, you have to earn your license to operate in the country where you do business. You need to make sure that, you know, you're looking at your environmental programs, your social and your governance programs. And where you really, really want to be is, if you can imagine three circles, one with environment, one with governance, and one with social, you want to be at the intersection of all of those circles, right in the middle. And of course, you know, I mentioned a lot of different themes within the three areas, and you can be everything to everybody, and you cannot tackle everything, and that is okay. But whether you're mid-sized or whether you're a large business or you're just starting, it's really important to look at what is important to you as an organization, what's important to your employees, your stakeholders, your investors, and really look at the state of the world right now. What are we really dealing with? And one way that organizations can figure out what is really material to their business, and material from a, you know, what do your investors and stakeholders think, but also what impacts your bottom line, really is to do a materiality assessment, to really understand where is it that you can really, really make an impact. Because it is good to say that, you know, you might want to be in the climate change mitigation space, but you might be able as an organization to make the best impact in adaptation, and that's where you really need to focus. And generally in the ESG space, the recommendation is to tackle a maximum of 5 issues and a minimum of 3. If you really want to make an impact, you really need to be focused.
I love that. And it's true, you can't try to solve all the problems, but really focus on the problems that are most relevant to your industry, most relevant to your business. And work on that. That's such a great advice. I really like that. I want you to just type a little bit more when you say, like, what is okay? You know, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, one of the biggest issues with ESG is that, you know, it seems like it's a bit subjective. And there's probably, and you tell me if I'm wrong, there's a lack of clarification around what is okay and what is not considered okay, or what is not okay is when you get into the press and you need to do something about it. So for companies listening to this and say, am I doing it right? Do I need to compare myself to what the industry standard is, or the industry, how do you compare? What's the best to go around this?
Yeah, for sure. And that's a great question, because the different issues in ESG change based on the sector that you're in. ESG issues in manufacturing or in fashion, which is something that you know a lot about, are very different than ESG issues in tech. And in my recent experience, for example, working in a tech company, I could tell you that what was really important to us was climate change mitigation. We work with data centers across the world, and those data centers are really impacted by climate change. They're impacted by flooding. So how do we make sure that we can run our business without any interruptions? And we, you know, climate change is not impacting our data centers. So when you look at tech, mitigation is definitely something that, you know, you would want to look at. How do you reduce your greenhouse gas emissions, your scope one, scope two, and your scope three? And you know, there's a lot of work to be done in that. When you look at the tech space, really, I would say that the standard is, and a lot of organizations are now talking about, you know, how to achieve a net zero strategy. And the expectation in the tech space is that you're reducing, you know, your emissions by 30 to 40% by 2030, and 75 to 90% by 2050. And that is what your peers are doing in that space. And of course, some of those peers are also your customers, right? And when they're looking at their emissions and they're working with their biggest customers, you need to understand that, and you need to make sure that you're working collaboratively with them. Because, you know, it takes a group of people to tackle this. It's not just one company. It's all businesses. It's the government. It's the policies that are being put forward. There's pressure, of course, from investors, the regulatory perspective. There's the Securities Exchange Commission for those organizations that are trying to go public. You know, NASDAQ, for example, in the United States requires that you have two people on your board of directors that are considered as diverse if you want to, you know, IPO as an organization. So it's really looking at the investor landscape, really looking at the regulatory landscape, looking at what your customers and your employees expect of you, but also looking at what is material to your business in the space that you're in.
Wow, love. Great answer. Really give you a lot of good food for thought right there for any companies who have no idea what to do when it comes to ESG. And such a very important point, you know, especially for technology companies to think about as well from a board level, and especially as IPO is on a lot of technology lips right now. Everybody wants to do an IPO. Everybody wants to do that. And that has a massive impact. Are you diverse? And that leads me to my next question, which is around, you know, when you think about IPO, we always think about the unicorn, the giants, you know, and so forth. What about those medium enterprises who are potentially looking as well, companies, should I say, who are potentially also looking at IPO? What's their way towards this? And is ESG relevant to them as well?
Absolutely. I would say ESG is relevant to any organization out there. As I mentioned at the beginning, as a business, you need to earn that license to operate. And you earn it by looking at what are the material issues that we're dealing with as a society. Those companies that are, I would say, medium-sized, and I know that it can be daunting, and you can look at it and say, oh my God, where do I start? But really understanding what are those material issues to you as a business, and this is done through a materiality assessment. Most consulting firms out there, be it boutique or the big fours, will definitely help you with that. And they will help you understand what are those material issues to you. Is it, you know, is it greenhouse gas emissions? Is it your working environment? Is it employee relations and diversity? Is it executive pay? And once you have identified those 3 to 5 topics, you then start to work internally with your HR team, say it's diversity and inclusion, right? To understand what should the strategy be and what are those key metrics that you need to look at. And I think as a best practice, whether you're publicly traded or not, or a medium-sized business, transparency is really important in helping your stakeholders understand that ESG is important to you and where you are in that process. You know, people right now are voting with their dollars. People are choosing to buy from organizations that are more ESG conscious and transparent than others. So you want to make sure that you continue to keep your customers educated and on board with all the practices that you're putting in place.
Yes, yes, yes. And I cannot agree more. I think if you look at the Gen Z generation, they are very, very, you know, socially aware. And, you know, we know about cancel culture. They can, exactly. You know, it can destroy a business in just in one tweet. So companies need to be very mindful in terms of what they do. Like, you know, the power is now, you know, not just in the hands of the investors, but also in the hands of the customers, which is so important. I wanted to, you know, and I'm listening to you, it's like, oh my gosh, people are wondering, like, do I need an ESG director in my company? At which point do you actually have someone like you? When it's too late?
No, I mean, it's never too late. It's come at the forefront now, as I mentioned, in the past 4 to 5 years, you know, with an increase on, the rapid climate change and the impact of that. A lot of companies are putting that at the forefront and saying, you know, what do we need to do about, reaching a 1.5 degree scenario as per the Paris Accord? What does that look like? So it's never too late to start. It requires, of course, funding. Mm-hmm. But you can start small and then you can continue to expand over the years. You can start with a lot of things or themes that are important to you. And I know diversity and inclusion is very important to you. And I think you've already done that.
Yeah, definitely a big thing. And, you know, and I guess, you know, for me is, and now that's why I sit with all the brands that I work with, is that if we can think about ESG from the get going, it will be much more easier because, you know, when I think about companies now so established, and I realize we never pay attention to what about this or what about that. And then, yeah, it costs a lot more money. So if it is, you know, embedded within your DNA in terms of how you do, who you choose to hire, how do you choose your suppliers and so forth, it becomes a much, much easier work, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. And you're on the right track. So
thank you.
No need to worry.
I'm very conscious about this. I think it's been, I really feel like I want to ask you a question, but I'm going to leave our listeners, because in the second part of this episode, we're going to talk about ESG strategy that you can potentially apply for your business right now. And so stay with us.
You are listening to Tech Brains Talk, a conversation on the strategy of becoming a remarkable individual and creating iconic tech brands. Your host is Flavilla Fongang, author, speaker, and founder of Three Colors Rule, a creative branding and marketing agency for tech companies. For more information, go to 3colorsrule.com. If you found this podcast helpful, please help us by telling your friends and rating us a 5 stars on iTunes. Thank you. Now, back to where we left it off.
And we are back for part two of this fantastic episode I am sharing with the amazing Anissa. We've been talking about ESG. And I hope that you've been taking some notes because this usually should be charged and you're getting it all for free. So I hope you're enjoying it. And as I say, as ever, you know, you're going to need to listen to this episode more than once. It's a really good one. So as I said before, we went on a break that we're going to talk about ESG strategy and what are the steps. So Anissa, what are the steps for developing a great ESG strategy?
That's a great question. And I think we touched on that a little bit, is really looking at the sector that you're in, looking at what is the maturity level of your organization to understand where is it that you need to start, really paying attention to the investors around you. What are they looking for? And also, what is your employee base asking of you as an organization? And then I think it's really, really important to work with some of the smartest people in this space, which would be the consultants. You know, in full transparency, working in-house, you tend to only learn more about the space that you're in. But consultants work in different industries all the time, and they're always up to speed in terms of what's happening in the space, or what are the new regulatory requirements, or what is the Securities Exchange Commission looking at from an ESG perspective. So really working, bringing in consultants that you trust and you have a great working relationship with, because that is very important, not just from a strategy perspective, but also from a learning perspective. And really working with them to help you understand what are those important material issues to your business. As I mentioned, you know, in my previous organization, working in tech, we really focused on how do we reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. So we really focused on mitigation. But to really understand that, we had to measure what scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3 emissions looked like for us before the pandemic and during the pandemic, because you want to make sure that you have a good base of understanding. And then really understanding what are those programs and strategies that you really need to put in place to reduce your emissions. And that will also be influenced by what are the gaps in the data, because the data speaks volumes, especially in the ESG space. And from a social perspective, you know, whether it is your, the most important for your organization is to be able to find a social cause that speaks to your business, or that your business can be able to contribute towards solving, or whether it is, you know, health and safety or diversity and inclusion, and really picking that topic and focusing on that and figuring out what are those steps that you need to look at in terms of setting programs and KPIs. And then at the end of the day, being able to work with your communications team and your PR team internally, as well as externally, to be able to share those learnings, but also share your KPIs and what your strategy looks like in your progress. And I cannot emphasize this enough in terms of communicating externally, because as I mentioned, your customers and your investors, that is the first thing that they would be looking at when they want to understand about what is your ESG commitment.
Yes. Oh my gosh, it's absolutely true. And I cannot agree more than what you just said. And I think it's so important that, you know, company have clear in terms of where they are. So having a clear strategy, and also, as you say yourself, you know, a jack of all trades, so you're not supposed to know everything. So hire people who know and can really advise you, you know, and that makes a big difference. Yes. So get some consultant who have a, you know, broader view of the world and broader view of what's going on in the business space. And again, after that, you know, if you can't create a program to put it in place, what's the point? And if you can't measure it, what's the point? And I think that's probably one of the biggest issues I've seen in the EAG space is the data gap, isn't it? The way things are being reported, you know, people also, and I'm probably sure that you are very familiar with what we talk about, which is greenwashing, which is one of the biggest issues right now as well. And obviously, what are you doing? Because your investors and consumers always have the eyes on you. And with new cancel culture, anything can happen, isn't it, Anissa?
Exactly. And you mentioned reporting, which, of course, is very important. A lot of publicly traded businesses, but also non-publicly traded organizations, privately held, do make their ESG reports public. The problem with reporting in this day and age is that it's a very fragmented world. There's no set standard in terms of reporting. There's different frameworks out there, and organizations choose to use different ones. So unless you're really in tune with the ESG space, it'll be hard to translate that and to understand what are organizations actually doing. You know, quantity of information doesn't always translate into quality, right? So making sure that really being transparent, and as you said, you don't have to know everything. And it's okay to say to your customers, look, we understand that climate change is important. We haven't done anything about it yet, but we are working towards it. And we will come back to you with more information on what our strategies are. And I think the consumer nowadays appreciates transparency more rather than organizations not speaking about it at all.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And I think this is what it is. You know, being good at what you do is no longer enough. People expect you to be good at doing what you do as a business. But what you do within your space is really what sets, you know, your business and your brand apart. And obviously looking at, you know, as you indicate, being vocal and being transparent and make sure that you do a great, it's a PR exercise as well, let's be honest. That needs to be done. So also from a point of view of the stakeholders, it's always that customer and customer and investor relationship, but also from a point of view of also attracting talent.
Yeah.
Also very key, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I, for example, when I've looked at various opportunities, the first thing that I do is I will search up that organization. And I will look at what are they doing from an environmental, social perspective? What do they stand for? How vocal have they been? How transparent have they been? What, you know, what does it mean to them? And it's very important. And a lot of Gen Z, is it Gen Z, Gen X? I don't know what it is now.
Gen something.
A lot of Gen somethings are more in tune with what's happening in the world right now. And they're asking a lot from the organizations that they do business with. So it's absolutely crucial, for sure.
Absolutely. And they're very fickle. I think if you don't give them something of a purpose, they will leave, you know, and that comes back to, you know, this interest towards, and you've seen like a lot of this new generation creating brands that are very, you know, very intentional. So there's a brand, I think, I can't remember the name of the brand, but, you know, she created a gym clothes brand made of plastic, and she's now multimillionaire. Again, it comes back to that really aligning this, you know, being trendy and gorgeous, and at the same time caring about environment. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
You don't have to choose.
No, you don't have to choose. Absolutely, you don't have to choose. And talking about ESG, and I think, you know, people who are listening into this might be, oh, I would love to start a you know, career in ESG or maybe transition into ESG. And I know that you also work, you know, do a lot of volunteering work for Shadow to Shine charity. What advice, you know, and I would like to know, I have a lot of questions I want to ask you, but first, let's talk about, you know, interest into transitioning into ESG or maybe starting a career into ESG. What advice would you give?
For sure. I think a lot of young adults are really looking at, you know, how do I start in this space? Is there, you know, a university degree that I can study in or a course that I can take? When I graduated from university, I think I probably graduated from the only program in Canada, which is called Business and Society, which really looked at what is the role of business within society, but from an academic perspective rather than putting it into practice. And I think the academic world has advanced a lot since then. But I don't think that you necessarily need a university or a college degree per se to get in the ESG space. A lot of the skill set that you need in ESG is project management, stakeholder management, and communications, because you need to be able to communicate this internally to your employees and your executives, but also externally to your stakeholders. You need to be able to manage multiple projects in the environment, in the social, in the governance space, all at the same time. And stakeholder management is, of course, extremely important, because you would be managing relationships with your investors or your customers and your employees internally. So to start in the space, I think it's really becoming really good at these skills that I just mentioned. And I don't necessarily think that you need to be in the ESG space to really get experience in those or to really master them. You can be in a different environment. But also transitioning into ESG, whether it is, you know, internally within your organization or externally, if you don't have prior ESG experience, a lot of experience that you do have, especially as I mentioned that the skills that I just spoke about, they're transferable, right? A lot of my colleagues that I've worked with and peers over the years have come from HR, from the communications world. Some of them have a background in history and geography. So you don't necessarily need to have a background in ESG to get in the space. You just need to master the skills, which you can do that in different, you know, different areas. So whether you are looking internally at getting into ESG within your organization, my advice would be reach out to the ESG team. Generally, those teams tend to be small. So they would love the help of somebody internally. You know, work on a project with them. See if you like the work that they're doing on a day-to-day basis. And then once you've gotten that experience, when a role opens up, then you can transition. And if you are looking at it from outside the organization, there's a lot of companies that offer internships and, of course, paid internships. So try to apply for those and really look at whether it is something that you enjoy or not. And if it is, then you know this is a career that you want. And as I mentioned, in the past 4 to 5 years, there's been an influx of roles in the ESG space, both at the entry, but also at the executive level.
Wow. Good advice. I might transition to ESG at some point.
You're more than welcome to join the space.
Thank you so much. And, you know, that I guess that falls really well what you do with Shadow to Shine Charity, right? Which is also helping and mentoring and uplifting young people. Why is that so important to you?
It is because, you know, I think it's really important when it comes to being given the right opportunities in life to be able to elevate, yourself or your career. I come from immigrant parents. I'm not first generation Canadian. I was not born in Canada. So I was lucky enough to work with people that, you know, helped me get in the ESG space and people who have mentored me. Even today, I've built those 10 plus year relationships and I cherish them. But I really needed that person to give me a hand up to really be able to get in this space and to continue in this space. And for me, giving youth, especially youth that comes from difficult backgrounds, that opportunity is definitely life changing. And, you know, if changing somebody's life in a way or another is not the best feeling in the world, and I honestly don't know what is.
Oh, love what you just say. I think, you know, it's something that I'm a big advocate of, impact. And that's probably why you are in the right career, because you understand the power of impact. And it's interesting to see that, you know, our background also influences the choices that we make. People that are fortunate and, you know, haven't thought about, you know, giving back, it's so, so important, a part of, you know, of the cycle of life. So you say that so beautifully.
Absolutely. And you know, I've been in the space for a very long time. So I think what really brings me joy is seeing the impact firsthand, you know, working with the not-for-profit organizations, being able to give them that funding, but then following through with the project and seeing the outcomes of those projects. It's absolutely amazing.
Absolutely. I have one more question. It's my favorite question. And it's about legacy. How would you like to be remembered, Anissa? This is my favorite question.
I think for me, when I first started in my career, there's a wonderful woman who is my friend to this day. And I remember on my first day of my internship at Centrica, she said, Anissa, as a woman, it's our job to help other women. So throughout your career, you need to, if you are ever in the position to help another woman, you should be able to do that. And I have never forgotten that, because she was the first woman that helped me in my career. And I carry that with me as I continue to grow in the space. And I think that's what I want my legacy to be too. When I look back at it, to be able to see the number of women that I've helped, whether it's in the ESG space or in a completely different space. But if I am in that position where I am able to help, whether it's through mentoring or career advice or getting in the space, I think that would, you know, make my heart smile.
Oh, well, you are definitely on your way and you've already started. So please do not stop, because I feel very grateful to know you, to have you as a friend, and also do this amazing episode with you. And it's been so much learning. I've been taking some notes and I want to share just a bit of a summary to people who probably haven't taken some notes, but I've taken some notes for you. So focus on 3 or 5 issues, you know, within your ESG space, which is relevant to your industry, which is relevant to your business. You don't have to be an expert. So work with experts in this space, consultant who can help you develop a strategy, then create a program so you can identify the data gap, because data gap is no good whatsoever. And beyond that, obviously, make sure that you have a great communication plan and, you know, pick one or more social cause that you really think are aligned with your brand and what you're trying to achieve. And don't forget, you know, this is also a PR exercise, because your customers, your investors, but also your next talent is watching. And again, something when you think about ESG, you know, this is a place for everybody. And if you care about impact, ESG might be your next career move. Who knows? But Anissa, it was such a pleasure to have you. You've been such a fantastic guest, and I'm sure people want to reach out to you. What's the best way to contact you? Twitter, LinkedIn, tell us.
LinkedIn would be the best way to reach out. I'm also on Twitter, but granted to say, you're more famous than I am on Twitter.
So. I am not whatsoever.
But yes, LinkedIn would be the best platform. But if they want to reach out on Twitter, they can definitely do that. It's my first name and my last name.
Fantastic. Anissa, what's the end of this podcast? Thank you so much for being on this podcast with me. I really enjoyed it. And for all my listeners, as I say, you listen to this episode not only once, not twice, three times. And I'll see you very soon. Bye, everybody.